Welcome to the Education Marketing Leader Podcast with Chris Raposo. If you're looking to dive into the latest industry insights, draw inspiration from education success stories, or just want to sharpen your marketing skills, you're in the right place. Here, we bring you a diverse range of voices from experts and leaders in the field, offering you a unique blend of professional development and practical strategies. Whether you want to understand your audience better, stay updated with the latest tech trends in marketing, or expand your professional network, we've got you covered. So while you're driving on your morning commute or winding down after a busy day, let's explore the dynamic world of education marketing together.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Education Marketing Leader with Chris Raposo. Today, I have a fantastic special guest, the first university president that I've ever had on the show. His name is Dr. Tim Collins. He is the president at Walsh University. Dr. Collins, welcome to the show.
Swords up, Chris. Swords up. It's great to be here. Hello, everyone out there listening. Great to have you with us today.
Very good. Swords up, indeed. So today, the episode is going to focus on engaging university presidents in marketing efforts. And that's how I found out about Dr. Collins, by scrolling through YouTube, looking at some of the videos that he had on his university YouTube channel. And I was very impressed with it. And I thought that that went well with the marketing efforts. And I figured, hey, other schools should do the same. But before we go into the episode itself, I want to give a little bit of a background about Dr. Collins. So Dr. Collins is a retired senior officer of the United States Air Force. So he used to fly for the Air Force, and he's also a flight instructor, among a lot of other things. So Dr. Collins, tell us a little bit about your background and why you decided, with such a great career that you had in the past, to start working at Walsh University in 2019 to become their president.
Yeah, thank you, Chris. So I was a fighter pilot in the Air Force. And Chris, do you know how you can tell if someone's a fighter pilot? They're going to tell you right away. So that would be me too. So I had a whole career flying airplanes. And I did that for 23 years. And for me, that was what I would call the first part of my career. That was the part about serving now. I think citizenship carries with it responsibilities and obligations, not just a whole bunch of rights and things you just want to do. So that was the here now. And then after I retired there, I actually went to Johns Hopkins University. And I had a whole career at Johns Hopkins University, and I was focused on technology, and I was doing some teaching. I was in the Whiting School of Engineering. I was in the Applied Physics Lab, and that was sort of taking care of the leaders of tomorrow. And now I'm here at Walsh University, and for me, this is the third phase of my professional career. Reminds all of our listeners how young we actually are. You can pack a lot into life if you're willing to kind of just make a little adjustment. It also speaks to something we'll talk about in a minute, purpose, my own purpose. But this phase of my life is about putting a fingerprint directly on those students that are going to grow up and be leaders in their communities and in their families and in their workplace. So this is why I'm at Walsh University. It's a Catholic university. You may not know this, Chris, but the Catholic Church actually invented higher education. So in 1088, the University of Bologna opened its doors, the very first Catholic university, the very first university anywhere. In fact, all of those great medieval universities that your listeners may have heard about, Cambridge, Paris, Oxford, Prague, Bologna, all of them 100% Catholic. And so 936 years, Catholic education is still out there, still going strong. And I don't know anything else that's going that long, that strong. So they must have something right. So I came here at Walsh in this opportunity to help lead a university that's focused very much on developing men and women of character. And so for me, Chris, this is all about putting my fingerprint on them. And that's why marketing, I'm so excited to talk about marketing. Marketing is a primary tool in the toolkit of a leader. So if you're going to lead, if you're going to try to make things happen, if you want to get things done, you have to think about marketing.
That's exactly right. And how you market yourself. And I could see by the videos, you're surrounding yourself with those students. They look up to you. They get inspired by you to be better men and women in the workforce when they get out of Walsh University. So I know that you started right away with the marketing efforts, because the first video I saw of you was the Undercover President video, which was very engaging. And then you had the 2024 opening day video and other marketing campaigns with Walsh University. Can you share some insights surrounding that? Does it take a lot of effort from your marketing team to convince you? Are you all in?
Yeah, Chris, thank you for that. I mean, you're very perceptive here. You're right. This started right from the beginning, and it had something to do with how I wanted to brand myself as a leader, as well as thinking about how we're going to brand Walsh University and how we infuse into our students what their role is as leaders, which all college graduates are. So in 2019, actually, my community here, they met me first through that first video. So I came in the 5th of August. The community comes back in the middle of the month. We always start off the year with all the employees. We all come together, 400 of us at the time, 350 of us, in one room, and it's the president's time. So they'd never even met me. And if you can imagine the room, we bring the lights down. It's completely dark. They sort of see me sitting up front, you know, walking around. The scene starts, and wham, I hit them with this video. And the video, of course, there's two pieces to it. There's something funny up front, you know, thematically. And then it ties to, I do a serious message in them. I sort of use humor to get their attention. And then I focus in on whatever the topic of the day is or whatever that I want to talk about. So in that first video, it was just about coming off of the summer, refreshing, renewing, reinvigorating, how we do that. This message here on this year, the video you just talked about the other day for this year's, it was, you know, the message was a lot about trying to stand up and do the right thing. We have some very strong opinions about what's going on in our culture right now and how wrong it is to call people out, this anti-Semitic activity on college campuses. That's absolutely wrong. It stands against everything America has always stood for. And so I think part of leadership is you can use humor to actually get people to listen for a minute and then encourage them, inspire them, convince them that if you're going to be a leader, you have to stand up. One of the problems in the culture today, Chris, is it's the loudest voice. Well, yeah. Everybody has a voice. Let's get everybody into this conversation. And so they have to be willing to say things that other people aren't willing to say. And so I use the videos, I use the marketing. But as I said, the marketing with the team understands that strategic marketing for us here at Walsh University, it's nothing more than understanding what the game plan is and how we further our value proposition with whatever the message is. And that makes a direct contribution to our product or our delivery or our deployment. I don't know what the right marketing would be. I'm not really a marketing guy. I'm not a professional in that sense. But my team, they understand, you know, all those little ins and outs, the four Ps and all that kind of stuff. All I know is I'm just trying to show people that, you know, part of leadership is being willing to stand up and open yourself up to what could be conflict. And that's okay. Because you go all the way back to Bologna in 1088, which is really when the university system was set in place. And the idea that we learn and we grow by disputation with argument and evidence, we go back and forth. Nobody's got the whole answer. And so we've gone through the last 10 years, particularly since COVID, we've gotten a little soft, Chris. I think people are, they're afraid to be critical. And like, look, you can't get better. You can't help people if you don't get a little critical. Like our kids will say something to us. They're like, oh, they just caught me. I'm in a double standard. You know, daddy, how come you tell us not to watch? Or how come you tell us to put, you know, pay attention to dinner? And yet you're looking on your phone. Like, okay, you're right. I should put my phone down.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But really good insights there. And especially like you said, with the beginning of the video, when you used the humor to draw the audience in, because you were talking about things that is near and dear to the young people's hearts, which is the trolling on social media. So they can totally put themselves into your shoes while you were reading the troll messages on YouTube or wherever it was. And then you brought the convicting message in that aligns with what the university, what you stand for and what the university stands for, because, you know, we always talk about belonging on campus and we want to make sure we bring the right people into the school. And we want to make sure that people that may not align with those values and visions, that they find another place to call home, right? It's like the parable of the yeast, right? It just takes a little bit of yeast to mess things up, right? So you want to make sure you protect your institution and straight up go to the audience and say, hey, this is what we stand for. We love you. If you don't stand for that, there's other institutions for you. If you love what we're teaching, You belong to us.
Yeah, see, Chris, this is actually one of the things the culture, you know, is sort of putting a veneer on with, you know, we talk a lot about, let's just take diversity, and it used to be equality, and the system switched it on us. Now it's about equity, which is completely wrong. It's never been about equal outcome. In fact, you can look through all of history, and nowhere has this idea of everyone has the same thing, has that ever been anything but a spectacular failure. But to the point of inclusion, inclusion always has an end point. Look, you can play baseball. The baseball team's happy to take everyone. But if you're not willing to play by the rules of baseball, then you can't be included in the baseball team. So there's always a limit to that. So we're at Walsh University with our values, with the values of other universities. They're all a little bit different. We've been blessed with a marvelous higher education system. They have different focuses, different things they want to talk about. Here we're talking about men and women of character. Here we're talking about these values that we have of faith and community and excellence and service and integrity. And if you don't agree with that, you're probably not going to be a good fit here. And so, you know, go somewhere else. I tell employees when they come here, Chris, I finish with two things that I ask of every employee. Respect the Catholic faith. You don't have to be Catholic to go to a Catholic school. You don't have to be Catholic to work there. The institution is Catholic, not just who the students are or who the faculty are, but you have to respect the faith. If you went to Yeshiva University in New York City, the largest Jewish university in the country, you wouldn't expect them to put pork on the menu just because you showed up, right? That's in their tradition. And the other thing that I ask them to do is just do your work with charity. So we can have disagreements, but we're not going to be disagreeable. So if that's not something that the employees can latch onto, then I tell them, don't come. You won't be happy. You shouldn't go to work someplace where you're happy. You don't want to wake up on Monday morning with a knot in your stomach because you have to go to that workplace. You should go somewhere else. Part of the selection process for where you go to school or where you work has to be understanding yourself a little bit. Spend some time in reflection. What are you called to do? What is your purpose? And so we talk a lot about purpose. And if you can land in a place for school, for work, that's aligned with the way you think and your purpose, it's going to be a much better experience.
Absolutely. Let's talk about the impact of a president's involvement in the marketing efforts. You know, how do you see yourself in the role of these marketing efforts, and what impact do you believe your involvement has on campaign success? Do you think it makes you more approachable for the staff and the students? Because I know you mentioned Chris, your assistant in there, which is really lovely because it shows that you involve your staff in those efforts as well. And did you see them as equals?
Yeah, we are, Chris. I mean, look, I have this role of a president, but I'm someone who's no different than anyone else. I have skills and I have things I do well, and I have things that I do really, really poorly. And so I know that, and some self-awareness. And so we're all just simply in a different role. No one's better than anyone else. We all have inherent dignity by being human and how we treat each other. So we do bring everybody in. When I think about my role as a president, you know, in higher education, there's a little bit of a stereotypical role, I think. And that's probably true for all of us. Whatever you think you're doing, there's a stereotypical way, Chris, of how to do a podcast. Okay, you're not maybe doing it exactly that way. But I looked at that and said, look, sitting around in the library on my pipe, you know, typing up or working, that's probably not going to be me. Because I view this as my opportunity to help develop leaders. So for me, this is a hands-on opportunity. I want to leave my fingerprint on everyone. I want them to look at me and say, okay, there's the guy who's running a multi-million dollar, multinational organization, and he doesn't hang out in his office. He knows me probably by name.
Wow.
And in that way, I can helpfully, they can say, you know what? I should be a little bit like that. Now, I'm kind of loud and boisterous, and maybe that's not for everyone. I'm actually an introvert, which surprises people, but I think it's actually to my benefit because it helps me be a little more reflective. But I have to sort of work hard at trying to be out and the face of the university. But I fundamentally believe that's what the president is. The president is the face of the university. The president should model whatever the values are of the university. The president should model what it is you're trying to produce in your product. I mean, if you're a CEO of Coke and you're drinking Pepsi, that's probably not helping the team. So you sort of got to be all in on this. And part of that, I think, is be willing to get in front of people, take the risk. My marketing team understands that. We're willing to take a risk that this video is going to fail and it might not be heard right. And we might get a lot of negative comments. You have to be willing to, but that's what leadership is. Leadership is about taking risks so that others can learn and grow and do the things that they need to do so that they can fulfill their life's purpose. So in that way, I think that it helps if you can be a little humble, if you can acknowledge that you have some setback. I'm very critical of the 3-4 presidents that testified in Congress after the thing in Hamas. I think they lacked humility, and I think that that doesn't help. And if you're gonna be just so insistent, you're gonna follow the legal way, and then you find out that that's not what's really happening on your campus. There's an ethical disconnect there, and ethics matter in marketing, right? We're trying to advertise. Of course, you want to have your best foot forward, but you got to tell the truth, and you can't say something that's not true. And so we're very conscious of that at Walsh University when we do these videos. Let's make sure, you know, we don't have an ethical conflict ourselves. And, you know, we're spinning something that's not really true. Spin would be the negative side. For me, yeah. I think it's not spin. It's highlighting what we do well and what we're trying to get done, knowing, you know, do you hit on all 8 cylinders every day? No. I tell the parents when they come here all summer long, look, if you think you found the perfect university and everything's great, you're in the wrong place. Not that way. We're going to fall down. Everybody falls down. We're going to have setbacks. We're going to have disappointments. We're even going to have failure. But I can commit to them that we're going to focus on what's right. We're not going to focus on who's right. And we're going to get back up. And we're going to try it again. And we're going to go and we're going to go. And that's what leaders do. And that's what we're trying to convince our students. That's the way they need to be.
Yep. That's right. There's a couple of things here. When you speak the truth, the good thing about it is you never have to remember it. Yeah. And the second thing is when you're outspoken like you are, you know, when you're outspoken like you are, nobody's ever questioning in where you actually stand. And the third part is that, like you said, you cannot find a perfect university. You cannot find a perfect church. If you do, don't join it because you're probably going to mess it up.
Yeah, that's
because
right.
Nobody's perfect.
Right. And so effective marketing is effective leadership. Every leader should view the marketing tool, the public affairs tool, the ability to get in front of a microphone or a TV as an opportunity to talk about what you're doing, to talk about the good things. If things aren't going well, you might have to talk about that too. We have tragedies. We have terrible things that happen. But in that moment when things aren't going right, you also have to communicate a sense of hope, a sense of direction. This is what we're trying to do. This is how we're going to make it right. This is what we need to do to help everyone. Because people, they want to know what to do next. And leaders can often help them take that next step. And so the marketing perspective, I view marketing as a primary tool for all leaders. The strategy is the game plan about how we're going to try to bring this all together so that we can present what we're doing. And for our students, at the end of the day, our product delivery is when they show up for that job interview, that they can present themselves in a way that can communicate the skills they have against the work they're seeking to do and convince someone on the other side of the table that they're the one for them. And that's right. So often, I think we know this in the workplace, the employer is actually more interested in what do I think their ability is to learn new things, even though we're not talking about that in the context of this job, which is why a liberal arts education like Walsh University is so wonderful, because we teach people how to think, how to communicate, how to deal with ambiguity, how to develop options, how to rank the options. So when they get hired for that job, we all know that job, for the most part, for a college graduate, is only going to be the scope of your job for about a week. And then suddenly it grows and it changes and it morphs. And can you move with that or not? And they need to have people that can adapt to that. And that's why the liberal arts helps them. They did a poll, Gallup did a poll like 3 years ago, and they asked employers, you have this cybersecurity job. Do you want to hire a computer science graduate or an English graduate who has a certificate in cybersecurity? 90% of them said, give me that English major, because I know they can do other things. And so this is all part of understanding the marketing. We see this happen all the time in the marketing perspective, particularly with leaders. I think we see this with our political leaders a lot. They don't really understand what's happening, and so they come across as not authentic. They're not being themselves. And even with a camera, I think people can tell, you know, that's probably not really the way that person is. And you can put a lot of fluff around it. And then you look to see what's behind the screen. And if it's not what they saw, your credibility is gone. And it takes a long time to build up credibility, a drop at a time, but you spill it by the bucket. And I think this happens to political leaders all the time. They have this persona in the media. And then you look at really how they vote or the things they talk about or what's in their speeches, and there's just an immediate disconnect. Very difficult to get that back. So for a university, we can't have that. We have to be authentic and truthful in what we're doing because we're preparing the people that are going to go out and lead in businesses, political world, wherever. I mean, think about it. 98% of the people in charge of everything in the world have a college degree. So this is no small task we have in front of us to get them ready.
Not at all, not at all. So what about, let's say somebody is listening in, wants to get their president more involved. They know that your VP of marketing, Teresa Fox, is doing a phenomenal job. How does she prepare and her team, how do they prepare you to ensure that you're well prepared and that you're set up for success when you participate in these marketing efforts?
Yeah, I would say to our listeners, you know, for if it's not just the president, even if it's the leader of your work unit or your Boy Scout unit or some charity that you're working on, I think there's three things, Chris, that are important for me that my team is, you know, our team is very, very helpful. The first thing is, you know, I need time for reflection. So you got to give me some warning, like this is coming in a week or in a couple days. Just give me a chance that when I'm in the shower, when I'm disconnected from my day-to-day, when I'm doing my workout, I can sort of think about it then. It's, you know, these kinds of jobs, you know, the job that I'm in now, this role, it's kind of like being the mayor. You know, I've got a million constituencies. They all have different wants and needs. We have some inextricable problems. They all think I can solve them. It's just, you know, busy time. It's just hard to sort of like hit me cold. So I do need some time to think about it. Along with the time, it's helpful if they would offer their leader, what kind of message do you think this particular marketing activity should communicate? And Teresa and the team, they're good about that. Here's two or three things. This is kind of what we think we would like to do. And then, you know, let me go back to my reflection. It might not come out that same way because, you know, I have awareness on things that I'm working on that maybe they don't, or I'm thinking about it slightly different. So the message might be different. But I think it's much like letter writing. I think if your listener says, is it easier to sit down with a blank piece of paper and write or have somebody hand one to you and you edit? I think the editing is always the easier thing to do. So in that way, if they can just sort of prop me up. And then I think the last thing is that when it's time to do the marketing execution, if the marketeers be ready, like don't, you know, hit it, let's go. You want whatever verbal is happening to be, you know, with me and the principal, not with all the stuff around it. Because the last thing I need to worry about, think about is, you know, this part falling apart or why aren't we ready or let's go. Because there's just a lot on my mind. So I think those are the three things, you know, help me be reflective by letting me know ahead of time, offer some ideas on what the message is that you think we ought to be communicating, and then make sure we're ready to go and let's get it done.
Yeah. Make sure you use the president's time efficiently. Now you told me earlier in the pre-interview that those videos that you do for the university are one takes, like no do-overs.
Yeah. There are no do-overs.
How do you prepare for that? Like, because you're like nailing it, no problem. It looks like you've done it 10 times. How do you prepare for that to be as fluid as you are?
Well, I think there's a couple things. First of all, I do try to, you know, think about it a little bit. And in my mind, by the time, you know, I get in front of the camera most of the time, I mean, sometimes, you know, if there's a news reporter here, you just walk into it. You just got to go with what you got. I mean, it's just true that sometimes you have to take the test and you're not ready. The good news is that in this role here, and I have years of experience in similar roles, I have to speak a lot. So I'm used to sort of being on my feet. Suddenly I'm in front of a group of people and they all want to hear what you have to say. And I should offer something of value or at least make them laugh a little bit or something. So I'm sort of ready. So I have in my mind, usually a framework. Okay, I think this is the message. I think I need kind of a, I'm going to start with the swords up and then maybe I'm going to ease into it. And then I also spend a little time, usually I try to bring a story into it, Chris. I think being a storyteller as a leader is helpful because people will hang on through a story. And then when you're telling a story, you don't get hung up on yourself. You know, somebody told me a long time ago, you know, be interested, don't be interesting, which basically means don't talk about yourself, like be interested in the other party. So if you're a storyteller, that keeps the focus off of me. So I generally have in mind a story that I want to tell that's connected to my message. I'm strong in my faith, and I do believe that, you know, the Holy Spirit is here with me, and we're doing things at Walsh. We're trying to do where it is that we're called to do. The Brothers of Christian Instruction came here. They built a place. They did what the Lord told them. We're trying to do the same thing. So, you know, honestly, there's a lot of empty holes when that microphone goes on. But I just have confidence that the Lord will deliver. The right words will come out, maybe not in the right way. You know, my own lack of preparation, you know, might show. It may not be as smooth as it would have been if I'd liked had a script and I'm reading on a teleprompter and all that kind of stuff. But I think this is also just me. It's a reflection of, look, I'm just, you take me for what I am, you know, and if it's good, it's good. If it's bad, it's bad. That, okay, so I'm no different than everybody else. So I think there's a little preparation. I'm thinking about a framework. I'm thinking about a story. And then I'm willing to take the risk that I can just connect these dots and the good Lord will show up and I'll say the things that he needs me to say. But all of that, you know, that's not magic, Chris. I think this is a really important point. You know, leaders that are formed well, they're like, they have it in them already. It's not like something I have to learn later. It's just trying to bring it out at the right time in the right way to say the right thing. So to that end, I'm a reader. And I think leaders should be readers. If you're not reading, then why, you're wasting the skill that you have, the gift that you have of the ability to read. And when you read, it takes you to places that you can't be. You can't be all over the world. You can't be exposed to all these people. So a variety of, you know, fiction, nonfiction, biographies. So I have a goal of reading 60 books a year.
Okay.
We have a president's reading list. You know, I offer the community at least read one a month. And so all of that contributes to kind of what's inside of me. And so you just can't wing it, you know, necessarily. I mean, it's built up. It's worked on all the time, all the time. And so based on something, a lot of times I'll say something and I'll go, when they show me the final video, the draft or whatever, and I go, that's a reflection of something I read last month. That's what that was. If I'd have filmed this 2 months ago, that never would have come out because I wasn't even thinking like that. So I think it's important for your readers to read. So I'd say all that kind of goes together. And but I am a one and done, and we just go for it. And it's, I think most of the time it works out. Every once in a while, there's maybe a little, but like that one you saw, even in this video I gave, you know, Teresa, when the one you just saw, the one that just came out for our opening day this August, towards the end, there's like, suddenly there's like a change. It's like snaps over. And but yet we flowed the whole thing through. And I said, Teresa, it looks like we, you know, cut and did a slice. And really, it was just a camera angle change. Now, most people wouldn't notice it. You know, I'll notice it. But but it was just one take. That's just one fluid all the way through. And that is how they're all done. We haven't done any that's multiple takes.
That's awesome. I love that. I love that. It's very encouraging. And yes, if you read a lot, things come to mind as you're telling a story, as you're, you know, you have the different analogies. It's like, oh, I read about this and I read about that. And you bring in some quotes and bring the audience in there as well. So yeah, definitely love that you brought in Matthew 10. You know, don't worry about how to speak and what you're saying, for the Holy Spirit gives you the words at the moment when you speak them and when you need them, right? So this is how it goes. Right. When you're prepared, you know, you'll be blessed for that.
Yeah, you will be blessed. But again, you have to be formed. I mean, it's not magic. And it's, you know, I mean, I think he's the Holy Spirit helps draw out things that you know, but you just hadn't put together yourself, and gives you that little inspiration. You know, a lot of people talk about their inner voice. I mean, from the Catholic worldview, that inner voice, that conscience, that's actually the Holy Spirit, the Lord. He talks to us. If we're willing to listen, it's just the major problem. You know, I think Fulton Sheen is the guy that said he feels so sorry for people that are unable to be quiet. But you think about it, when you go into a doctor's office, you go in and go, blah, 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 here's all the stuff that's wrong with me, and then run out? No, you then shut up. Okay, listen, hear. And so that's why that reflection is such an important part of my life and my leadership style. I have to have time to turn the noise off, to sit down, to just like, okay, what am I really hearing, feeling, sensing? What is this? And you have to take time to do it. It does take time. I think as a dad, you know this well, right? The kids, after you put the two kids down, the next thing you probably want to do is just sit down and like, can I just be quiet for a minute? Because it's just been so loud, you haven't had a chance to really think about what's important. And what's important is that your children go to bed with the safety and the love they know that you and your bride are offering them. But that's just a reflection because you share it with each other. And so it's easy to pass it on to your kids, but you have to have that downtime, if you will. So the reflection is really, really important.
Yeah, I love the reflection. Mine is to, after the kids go to bed, do the dishes, because you have that water running and nothing else. And you're just like, I'm like, just leave the dishes. I'll do the dishes. I just want to have a moment for myself. So
Yeah, my athletic director, that's what she I said, you have a minute to talk? She said, let me go just start the dishes. Let me do the dishes. Okay, now I'm ready. And she does her best thinking while she's doing the dishes. That's so true. That's
so true. Same. So let's talk about, before we bring the plane to a landing, challenges and solutions. Sure, you must have faced some challenges while getting involved in marketing. And how have you overcome them? Does anything come to mind?
Yeah, there's lots of challenges, Chris. I think for all leaders everywhere, and this is true in the commercial world, certainly true in education, there's a lot of things in the culture today that are countercultural to what higher education's always been about. So the challenge is how do you capture the attention of the student, transmit the message so they'll hear it, even though it might be the first time they've ever heard that, because the culture is saying something different. So I think that, you know, that is the challenge, is marketers, you know, we can watch, you know, in the commercial world all the time, they're trying to sell a product, right? I guess in some sense, I'm selling a product too. I'm trying to sell a way of life. I'm trying to sell, convince people that if you're dialed into what your purpose is, and everyone has one. This is one of the challenges in our culture also. We've stopped telling our young people, hey, you are unique. You are special. There's a reason you're here on earth. And so when they hit these low points and they see everyone on Yik Yak and TikTok and everybody's happy, happy, they think they're the only ones that's got a problem. No. In fact, you can look around. I guarantee you, you know, you swing a rope around, you're going to knock down five people that have it worse than you do. So what we want to sell, to convince them on, is there's a reason they're here, and we're here to help you uncover what that purpose is. And then the dirty little secret in this whole storyline is that purpose changes. I mean, Chris, your purpose today, I'll bet you have a six-year-old. 7 years ago, you had a purpose that's different than your purpose today with a six-year-old and a three-year-old in the house. Absolutely. Am I true? Yeah. So we want to tell a 17-year-old, by now you're supposed to know, what do you want to do? Where do you want to go? What are you going to be the rest of your life? That's just crazy talk. So when colleges and universities say, we're preparing you for a career, no way. We're preparing you for that destination, for maybe a trajectory, but a career, we have no idea. So why do we pretend that we do? So in the marketing side of it, the challenge for us is how do we speak the truth in a way that they'll hear it, even if they don't understand it, rather than just instantly turn you off. Like, nope, that no way, because of what their past experience has been. So I think that's our biggest challenge. Obviously, we've used the videos as a way to help us penetrate the market. How can we get beyond our campus and share what we think is truth? Now, everybody gets to decide. So even my last one, I think there was some conviction there. But people get to decide for themselves. You know, if you think anti-Semitic behavior is okay, I'm, you know, you get to choose. I'm only offering for you that for a long time, like for all of time, we actually don't think that that's acceptable. But if you think the whole culture says it's acceptable, I want to just introduce you to some skepticism. And if they're just are skeptical, then we will declare victory. If everyone is skeptical, just don't take whatever, I don't care who says it. I say it, question it. I say it's Tuesday, say, Tim, prove it.
Yep.
Let's go. That's what I think will make the world a better place. So that has been our biggest challenge is the culture. Because what we stand for, what we teach, building men and women of character. I'm not building men and women to go out on a factory line and just be that utilitarian, you know, be a force for the economy. Okay, yes, you're going to do that, but life is bigger than that. And so that has been our biggest challenge.
And we have to realize that just because we don't agree on the same thing doesn't mean we hate each other.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I think disagreeing is healthy. If we all agree something's wrong, right? Yeah. Then we should fine tune this, but we shouldn't disrespect and hate others because they have a different view.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Last question here. If I have somebody on the line that likes to get their president more involved, what would be one piece of advice you would give them to get that president to step out of their office and get in front of the audiences more?
I guess my one piece of advice is that if you think your president can modify behavior and be more effective, then offer it to them. If nobody tells the president won't know. Mm. The president might think they're hitting it on all 10 cylinders, and you might just a gentle nudge, an act of encouragement, saying, you know, have you ever thought about doing a podcast? I think people would like to hear from you. Then maybe they will. Or have you ever thought about, instead of me doing the introductions at this next meeting, could I ask you to do it and help them to get to a different place where you think they may be more effective? Now, it might work. It might not work. They might not want to. And so be gracious about that. But I would just say this, that if you don't offer your president feedback like you do your colleague, they can't get better. And they want to be better. I'm sure that every president wants to be better. Every leader wants to be better. If they're so egotistical that they think they can't improve, they think they've nailed it, they think that life is over, find a new leader.
That's right. That's right. Perfect advice. Dr. Collins, how can people get in touch with you after this episode if they want to learn more from you or get a hold of you?
Yeah, thank you. So walsh.edu for Walsh University. tcollins@walsh.edu is my email. I'm on LinkedIn. But if you just go Walsh University, Ohio, because there's a Walsh College in Michigan, go Walsh on YouTube, on Facebook, we're everywhere. Check us out. Come to the website. If you go onto our main website on the webpage and go into the About section, and in there you'll see Office of the President. Go there, and you'll see a link for insights and interviews. It's every video I've ever done, every speech I've ever done, every podcast I've ever done, everything I've ever done. Go to the videos and just, you know, have a good time. Just kind of roar through them. Even if you don't want to listen to the message, you know, the upfront part, we do try to make it so that people can enjoy it. And we've got a bunch of them now. I'm in year six. We do one or two of these a year. Plus, we do an end of the year one. So, Chris, what you don't know is that my end of year one from May, I had Zeke, the horse, and I climbed up. I drove in on my cab car. I have a cab car, completely wrapped. I came in on the cab car, I rode away on the horse, and we were setting the crumbs for the August one when I rode in on the horse. So we actually, you know, that's marketing, that strategy, that's thinking about how do we tie these together. So you can see all the videos, they're all there, but walsh.edu, walsh.edu.
I love it. I highly recommend everybody watching those videos. They're very entertaining, convicting, and they all may open your eyes to a couple of things. Dr. Collins, thank you so much for this episode. Thank you for your time. I really appreciate it.
Chris, back at you. Swords up, swords up.
Swords up. All right, we'll talk soon.
All right, see you, Chris. Bye-bye.
Bye. Hey, thanks so much for tuning into the show today. If you enjoyed it, don't keep it to yourself. Share with your friends and your network. And if you have a moment, I would really appreciate a review of the podcast. That'll help other people find the show as well. Tune in every Thursday morning at 8 a.m. when I release another episode. Take care now. Have a good one, friends.